particular relationship that you guys have, or stay in contact, anything like
that? I mean, we're 10 years apart. So, you know, I met him last year when we played the Saints, and you know, I've always, you know, watched him from afar, you know, from the same area, same high school, and you know, he's a great player, you know, one of the best ever to play the game at the position. So he's a guy I've watched and learned from, and you know, he's done a lot of great things throughout his career, and you know, on and off the field, and he's a great role model for, you know, fellow players and, you know, kids and adults.
How was it to have him to aspire to as a kid in high school, to know that he had all those records and, you know, he had come before you? Did it give you somebody that kind of looked up to you and chased after him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you have a role model from the same area who did a lot for that. You know, him and his team at Westlake won the state championship in 96. And, you know, it was something that we aspired to do when I was there. And we played in the state championship game my senior year, and we ended up losing it. But, you know, it was definitely something that we looked to. You know, 10 years apart, we both played in the state championship. And, you know, they had a great team back then. And he was a great quarterback in high school, college, and he's doing a great job in the NFL.
Did you ever meet him when you were in high school?
He came my homecoming game my senior year as a 10-year reunion of the state championship team. And I think he flew in and was at that game. But my first time to meet Drew was last year when we played the Saints.
Did he know about you at all?
Yeah, I mean, his family still lives in the area, so I've, you know, met his family, know his family, and it's just that he's a busy man. You know, we're 10 years apart, and, you know, he's got a family of his own, and he's doing a lot for the community and the NFL and whatnot, so, you know, he's a busy man.
What was it like in high school?
Looking at the numbers, when there's been pressure, you've taken a decent amount of sacks, and your completion percentage has been great, but you haven't turned the ball over at all. Is that how you look at it when you do get pressure, that you're willing to take those negative plays, perhaps an incompletion or sack, rather than have to turn the ball over?
I mean, I wish I could tell you. None of it's predetermined. It's just reaction in the heat of the battle. When pressure's there, you're trying to get a completion. You know, you're trying to move the ball forward. But the one thing you're trying not to do is put the ball in harm's way, because you turn over the ball, it gives the other team usually great field position and momentum. You can see, like, when their turnover happens, what it does to the sideline. It makes everybody jump up and get excited and, you know, gives that team momentum. So in those situations, I'm just trying to be as smart as I can with the ball. If I could throw it away, I want to throw it away. But sometimes there's not a good throwaway lane, so sometimes you just have to eat it.
How do you feel like you did against the pressure that the Cowboys threw at you, especially in the second half after rewatching the film?
I mean, there were some good things and some bad things. You know, there's some times where I took the sack, and, you know, I always want to try to get the ball out of my hands to where, you know, a sack doesn't happen. So that's stuff that I'll work on and look at what's the better way of throwing the ball away. You know, obviously there's a fumble that, you know, you can't have a turnover, but our defense did a great job of having my back and, you know, holding them to a field goal in that situation. But overall, I thought as an offense, we did well. There's things we can always work on, but I was proud of the guys.
You had a chance a couple weeks ago, obviously, to play in a bad weather game in the cold and everything. How much does it change a quarterback's ability to do what he wants to do on the field when you have to play outdoors in the cold?
I mean, it's definitely different throwing in, you know, hot weather, humidity, inside. It's just a different feel. I mean, y'all feel it as well as I do. It's a different feel in the air. The air, just the ball is a little different grip. Sometimes balls that feel good when it's humid are very, very, very slick in this weather, in this climate. But I think the big thing is you just try to play the game. You find the balls that, you know, balls in your hand, you got to make a play. So however, you know, you adjust to it. So me, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to, you know, if it's putting a little extra on the ball or really stretch and flicking my wrist or different things like that, you know, I'm going to do that. And you just adjust to the climate when you're playing in it.
Is it different than, does the game plan change at all when you have to play? Like,
no,
obviously the big talk is them coming out into the cold this weekend.
I don't think so. I think that, you know, the game plan, I mean, you're playing football. Everybody's got to play in this weather. And, you know, it's not going to be perfect conditions. You know, as y'all know, there was a pretty big snowstorm here a couple weeks ago. And, you know, you're still playing football. Throughout the course of the game, your game plan might adjust because of the weather. But, you know, going into the game, you always have your game plan, and it's usually your normal stuff and, you know, your new gadgets and stuff like that. But you're going into the game with your offense. You're not trying to do anything different.
Since the game Saturday, who have you heard from about you? You hadn't heard from for a while. What does it mean from you feeling back home?
You know, a lot of friends and family. But, you know, it's always been the people that have been there to support me. And, you know, it was neat being back in Texas and playing, and had a lot of people there to support me playing. But, you know, I got to focus on playing the game. I can't, you know, it's tough to, you want to talk to everybody, you want to keep in touch with everybody, but at the end of the day, I got to do my job. I got my teammates in there expecting me to go out there and play. So, you know, I try to zone it out, you know, keep my family real close, make sure I talk to them, you know, friends know I care about them. I'll send them a text to say thank you, but it's just hard to keep in touch. But, you know, they know I love them and I care about them, and, you know, I got to do my job here for my guys. Coach Long was defensive coordinator when Drew was in school, and he was my head coach, and great head coach, great man. I respect him a lot. You know, he'll give me messages from time to time, but he also, you know, he was a coach for a long time. He knows what comes with the game, and he knows that we stay fairly busy preparing, so every now and then I'll hear from him, but I know he's, you know, always watching.
Looking back, when you guys were 3-5, you had just missed the Giants game, the concussion. You know, Mike had just got injured again and everything. How were you guys able to kind of, like, hold it all together and go on this run that you guys have been on the last 8-9 weeks?
It goes back to, you know, believing in each other, you know, believing in what we're doing, and staying the course. And that's a big thing, is you don't want to implode in those situations. You use those situations to make you better as a person and as a team. And I think the guys did a great job of really buying into that and doing that. And, you know, that's a daily battle. You're not always going to win every game. You'd like to, but you're not going to. And it's how are you going to be when you go through those, you know, those tough times. And I think the guys did a great job of handling that. I think the coaches did a great job of, you know, really keeping us together.
It's a lot like now then to have the city on such an Eagles high and the fans embracing this team. And, you know, you're in the position to take a big part of it. What's it like for you guys?
You know, it's great. We have the most passionate fans, you know, I've ever seen. You know, it's fun. You know, you can see it in the stadium. You can see it when you're around town, when we were in Dallas. And it's something special. And I know that, you know, they do everything they can to come to the games. They work hard. And it's special for us to, you know, give some back. We've been working hard. It's not like we ever stopped working. It's a grind, you know. Like everybody grinds for their work. We're grinding to go out there and play and, you know, be successful as a team to, you know, bring happiness and joy to this city. And the fans fuel us. You know, when they're out there and they're yelling and they're screaming, it's awesome. When the other opposing offense is out there, I want our fans to be as rowdy as possible, because I know as a quarterback, when the fans are going crazy, it's hard to communicate. And then, you know, that's why they have such a big impact on the game, and it's fun. That's why, you know, I'm glad we're playing this game here. It'll be fun to see our fans in this atmosphere in a playoff game, and, you know, love the city, and it's an exciting time for us.
Nick, you're an follow-up to the cold weather question. We've spoken twice this year about trying to get better in the cold weather. What goes into that, and in terms of what you wear and equipment, do you do any adjustments for the weather?
I mean, you'll probably wear a hand warmer. On the sidelines, try to get as warm as possible. You know, sometimes your throws change, but you just feel it. I mean, it's not like you're going to change your throwing motion or anything. I think that when you go out there, it's like anything else. You try to zone out the weather. You try to just, when you're out there playing, you know, zone it out, execute the plays, however, whatever it takes to get the job done, you got to do it. So I think the big adjustments are when you're on the sidelines, just trying to get your body warm, keeping your legs warm, whatever that may be.
You're in Arizona, and you're playing Oregon. What struck you about Chip then from across the sideline? What, does anything surprise you since you've worked with him, and does he seem the same?
I mean, I think the big thing, and, you know, that I've noticed is they don't wear a visor. I was thinking about that the other day during the game, and I was looking at him in a hat, and I don't know if that's an NFL thing or what, but I'm always used to seeing him in that big old visor, so that's probably one of the adjustments that I had to make. But, you know, I think that I've always respected him as a coach on a serious note. You know, I try to keep it light every now and then. But, you know, I think that playing against him as teams, when you played Oregon, you had to stay on top of them, because if you ever let them breathe, you know, they jumped out at you. And I remember them playing. You know, we'd be up sometimes in the first half, and they'd all of a sudden in the second half get 3 quick scores, and then you're, you know, backs against the wall. But very well-coached team when he was at Oregon, and I can see why they're successful, because he's a great head coach. You know, he teaches you things as a man to make you a better person off the field, and then as a coach, you know, he teaches you a lot of great X's and O's. So when you have a head coach like that, it really goes a long way, and it really keeps our team together.
What do you think, Steve, is what you've seen in them so far? What's the biggest challenge?
I mean, they're a talented group. They have a, you know, they're a well-rounded team, a very well-coached team. They're going to mix it up with their coverages. They're going to try to put pressure on you at times, and they're going to try to get to you. I think the key with that is you really, when you got, we have to recognize as a team when they're trying to put pressure on. Me as a quarterback, I have to recognize what coverage they want to play with the pressures, and you know, that's what this week of preparation is all about, is trying to figure out what they're going to do. I'm sure they'll have new things ready to go for us, but you know, it's just all of us staying on the same page and executing the play that's called.
And what did you learn from Drew Brees as a player and as a man? You said you learned a lot from him. What did you learn?
I mean, I think he's just, when he's out there, he's a warrior. You know, he fires that thing. He's, you know, the throws he makes, they're very, a lot of, there's not many guys that can make the throws he makes. You can just tell with his intensity when he plays the game. You know, he has a great intensity. He's a very, I think he's an underrated athlete. I think he's a tremendous athlete. You can see that. You know, I've seen a picture of him dunking on a goalpost and doing certain things. I think just him, you know, you can just see his leadership. And that's something I've always, you know, looked up to him as a leader. I think he's a great guy, you know, great quarterback. But on and off the field, he's the same guy, and I think I respect that about him.
You won a state title and now Super Bowl ring. Something to aspire to.
I mean, that, you know, he's had a tremendous career, and, I know all Westlake's proud of him for what he's done in Austin and, you know, the people that support him. But, you know, right now, you know, when I think about all this stuff, it's a day-to-day thing for us. We got to keep working every single day. You know, hopefully someday we'll have an opportunity to play in a game like that. But right now, you know, we're very fortunate to be in this position, and we have to go out there and give it our best.
Thanks, guys.
Thank y'all.